Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So look, here's the deal, guys. We got our football team back, maybe. So, if you missed it at the end of yesterday's show, we told you the poll result from our poll yesterday. And I was stunned, capital S stunned, by our poll result. It was a very simple question yesterday. And it was this question: Are the Eagles a Super Bowl contender? 40% of people said no. Now, I mean, it's nice that 60% said yes, and I think the 60% are right, but I was shocked that 40% of people said no. And I want to get into this today at 215-592-9494 and find out where you sit on this. Are you part of the 60% that thinks the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender, which I am in that camp, or the 40% that say they are not? And I'll ask you why, or why not. And I'll just ask this rhetorical question to start, although maybe it's not so rhetorical and you want to literally answer it. Am I missing something? That 40% of people say they're not a Super Bowl contender? Look, you can weigh in at 215-592-9494. And let me say this before we go any further. You know, I have been as down as anybody on Jalen. I have been as down on anybody on this offense at various times. I have been more bored this year watching Eagles games than maybe at any point in my life when they've been, you know, better than 3-13. I mean, 3-13 is a different kind of boring. But, I mean, let's be real. It's been kind of a boring year. And yet, despite that, they are 9-5. Despite that, they are in first place and will win the division. They are going to have a home playoff game, one minimum, maybe more. They did win the Super Bowl last year. They do have most of the offense back that won the Super Bowl last year. And a rebuilt defense that, to me, looks pretty freaking good. So, when I asked the question, are they a Super Bowl contender? Honestly, I only asked it yesterday. I mean, I'm being very candid. I just wanted to kind of get an assessment of where people were at with very little inclination that it could lead to a Tuesday conversation about the legitimacy of the Eagles as a Super Bowl contender. But then at the end of the show, I met with 40% of people saying they're not. I found that, frankly, yesterday insane. And I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. And let me be clear, guys. I'm not doing cartwheels, all right? This isn't like last year where you felt like there was a mission. I can't say I feel the same mission. They've already lost more games this year than they did all of last year. I understand that. We all know that. Five losses represents more than they lost the entire year last year. But I do believe in the coach. I know I fear nobody in the NFC, even if they have to go on the road. I fear no one in the AFC. This isn't like a scenario where 10 years ago, if you're in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, if you get through it, oh, there's Golden State with Stephen Durant and Clay and Draymond. There's none of that. So I am shocked.
There are some good teams out there.
There's some good teams, but there's no one that scares me. No one scares me.
The AFC's got some new people, well, some new folks.
All you got to do is beat one of them.
The NFC have some new folks. Look, like the Seahawks are strangely good.
And I don't fear them. So I ask you today at 215-592-9494, am I missing something to be so stunned by that poll result? And tell us where you come down. The 60% that think the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender, tell me why. And the 40% that think they are not, tell us why. Because I was really, and again, 215-592-9494, I was truly stunned by that poll result. And that doesn't happen too often around here. John, what do you make of it?
I've said for a while that this team feels like a playoff team, but not a Super Bowl team. You know, this team feels like a team that is inconsistent to the point where I worry about the inconsistency. So, you know, I maintain that. That's the way that I feel. This is a playoff team, not necessarily a Super Bowl team, but the fact that they won the Super Bowl last year means they have, I don't know, an increased probability that this group of guys can get it done. That gives them a better shot. You know, that recent experience, just getting over the top in postseason football, they're locked in as the 2 or 3 seed. They're not going to fall to the 4
they're
seed.
They're not.
Because the NFC South right now, whoever's going to win it, has 7 wins.
Yeah.
They're not going to fall below the 3. But so that basically means they're going to play the Packers or the 49ers.
Pretty much.
And to me, that's kind of a toss-up. I feel like I know a lot less about the 49ers this season. But, man, they've got 10 wins. They've been performing at a high level, at a high clip out there on the West Coast. I just I don't know. I know on defense we're going to smother people for the most part, and if we're not right away smothering people, we'll figure out a way, and that group will cover everyone, and we can get it done, and they'll keep us close. You know, we held that Raiders team to 75 yards, which is the fewest that they've gained, what, since 1961?
Well, since the AFL.
The Raiders' second year in existence.
Right.
When they were just trying to cling to anything to stay afloat, like just trying to stay in the league and a team. 75 yards is masterful defense, even though it was against a really pitiful team. Our defense can play with the best of them and keep us close. Our offense, we finally ran the ball with more commitment yesterday.
More commitment.
You know, 47 times.
Yep, that's fair.
We ran the ball, which gives me hope that we can be more consistent offensively, because to me, a run game is consistency, you know, personified. That's what you need to be consistent. And then everything builds off of that. The play action, you know, that's where it all starts. So I feel good that we're headed in the right direction. I feel good that we can keep it close. I know that we're in the tournament, you know, so that gives us a chance.
Right. And by the way, I'll just say this, not every team that makes the tournament is what I'd consider a Super Bowl contender.
The Saints are in a different tier. Yes.
Not the Saints. The Panthers and the Bucks are not.
NFC South.
They're not Super Bowl contenders.
No.
They're not.
We feel like we are finally ascending, slowly ascending. I hope it starts to pick up speed, the ascension.
Yeah, I mean, it was only one game. But here's the thing, and I'll drive at it, this question. Was the 3-game losing streak in your mind, and maybe it's coupled with 2023, maybe some people think that's still on the table. And it, by the way, it is, because you got to win more than one game to fend off 2023. If you remember, in 2023, they did have one win in the midst of losing 6 of 7. But are you so scared of what happened in 2023 and so turned off by what happened over the last 3 weeks prior to this last game that you think the Eagles aren't a Super Bowl contender? Like that really, James, that shocked me yesterday.
Yeah, I think people have gone way too far going in the dumps. And I think it is because 2023 happened and there were similar like themes with the, you know, the AJ and Jalen stuff and this and that.
Yes.
They're like things you can point to.
And the offense breaking down.
Yes, and it just happened. It just happened. Same head coach, same quarterback. But look, to your point, yeah, they won a game then. It wasn't 31-0 where they held them to 70 yards or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Like they won that game in a way that they didn't win many games in 2023, period. Like, I don't know if they won a single game in 2023 as dominantly as they won that football
Probably
game.
Probably not.
Right? So, like, I get it that it's the Raiders, but they absolutely and totally owned the Raiders. Like, they're an NFL football team. Like, these stats, like, I said going, I think the Raiders are the worst team in football. 1965
right.
or whatever, 1955
right.
for yards for the Eagles. Like, they're still an NFL football team. They still dominated them in a way that NFL football teams rarely get dominated.
So let me ask this question, James, to you. Why did 40% of people say, Because I'm stunned by this. Why did 40% of people say we think our team's not a Super Bowl contender?
I think because it's one game and it's just the Raiders and people are still in that.
People are mad and it was a lose-lose, the Raiders game, because everyone was going to say, oh, the world is coming to an end if you lose.
But they didn't win by three.
And if you win, I understand. If you win, no amount of points can make you feel like, okay, that Raiders team was visibly the worst team I've seen in years.
I agree with that.
I can't believe how bad they've gotten.
I agree with that.
And there's just nothing redeeming bringing to the game.
Rhea, am I being Pollyanna here today, or am I talking with some sense?
You always do kind of skew towards Pollyanna, and I don't. I'm not surprised by the 40%. I think it's exactly what James and John have talked about. The people looked less at the Raiders game, it was 31-0. They didn't scrape by them.
Right.
They dominated them from start to finish, to the point where they were able to sit most of their starters for the fourth quarter in a game that took 2.5 hours. So I think you should put stock in that. But I think people look at the previous three. They collapsed against the Cowboys.
Yep.
That was brutal. 21-0.
Yep.
The Chargers game, 5 turnovers. I mean, it led to all kinds of questions about Jalen Hurts. And the Bears game was concerning in that the defense got run over. And the defense has been really terrific. It is, I think, a Super Bowl defense. So, no, I'm not surprised it was 40%.
So, curious where you stand as you listen to us on this Tuesday morning, 215-592-9494. Which side of the ledger do you come down on? The 60% that vibes with where I'm at, that thinks they are, a legit Super Bowl contender, despite the 3-game losing streak, or the 40% that says no? Again, I'll ask you, why or why not do you stand on which side of that ledger? 215-592-9494. I mean, guys, I get that the 3-game losing streak was brutal. And I get that they're not out of the woods. I'm not going to tell you they're totally out of the woods. I'm not foolish enough to say I believe in this passing attack and all that sort of stuff. And I know definitively they'll be able to run the ball like last year. I don't know that. But I also know this. There's no behemoth this year in pro football.
Exactly.
There's not. And they got 9 wins, probably on their way to 11 or 12. I mean, come on. All right, Coach Vermeil joins us every Friday at this time. And, of course, we love talking to the legendary Dick Vermeil, brought to us by Independence Blue Cross. The region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Independence Blue Cross. Learn more at IBX.com. Coach Vermeil, how are you this Friday morning?
I'm doing fine. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Dick. Always wonderful to have you on the program. So, Dick, a lot of conversation today about Jalen, who last week was in the crosshairs of everybody, basically. Played very well against the Raiders. One of the things we're discussing is whether they should run him a decent amount down the stretch or not. I would save it for the playoffs now. Jason Kelce said to us yesterday he thinks you got to sort of do it to know how to do it. That's paraphrasing, but his idea is let's lean on what you want to get best at for January. But I would be careful with Jalen. What do you make of how much he should run in these remaining games? Because we know he's better when he runs. How would you handle it as the head coach?
Well, I think I would blend it in, sort of like they did last week. I'd blend it in, run him just enough to make the defense aware that they will run him, because it does control some of your defensive alerts. Because, in passing situations and running situations, you've got to account for him. And so I would include him just enough to make the opponent aware that they will run the ball with him in a design run.
Coach, a lot of people are really, looking down their nose at the Eagles' offense right now. What are the chances, in your eyes, just based on your experience, that this Eagles' offense rises up and proves a lot of us fans wrong? The end of the season here and into the postseason, that they can actually win games for this team. A lot of people feel like they lean defensive, and what are the chances the offense can rise up and surprise people, Coach?
Well, first off, we all know the defense is the better half of the football team right now, but that doesn't mean the offense won't continue to improve. I think, and I can't prove this, but a game like last week, when you really play well offensively and every player on the team gets to see the plays that they call executed well and finished properly and see the full execution of the play, where against a stronger defense, many times the play is nullified before it even gets started, so the player never visualizes. You come out of the game like last week, they saw a lot of their offense executed beautifully because the defense was not very good. But I think sometimes there's a carryover to next week because they visualize that. They see it, and they expect it the next week to finish as positively as they did last week. I think it's a good picture. And I do believe we have room for improvement. I think the offensive line is continue to get healthier and will improve. And I think the right tackle that we talk about all the time, Johnson, who's playing as a backup, you know, and I haven't studied him like I would as a coach, but I think he's played pretty well. Yeah, he's played pretty well. So I expect the offense to get better. But the one thing you got to realize, guys, the schedule was much tougher, especially from a defensive standpoint against the opponents. God, that makes, you know, the Raiders compared to the Chargers, okay, defense. Night and day.
Right.
And when you play more defenses that aren't ranked in the top 10, you're not going to be as good on offense. That's all, no matter what kind of an offensive coordinator you have, it's tough. So I respect what they've been doing, and I think they're going to continue to get better.
You know, 47 rushes against that Raiders defense. Jason Kelce, I thought what Jason Kelce said to us was really interesting, that practices, that games give more practice than practice at running the football for this offensive line, especially. And so you run it 47 times in a game where you're getting more practice at running it than you are in practice. You know, this time of year, you'd think we probably got a lot better last week.
No question.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I really believe that. First off, I believe everything Kelce says, okay? Whatever he says, I believe, okay? But he's right, because the practices today aren't like they used to be. My last years in coaching, we'd run 16 to 18 run plays Wednesday and Thursday, 9-on-7, hot tempo. Not full tackling, but hot tempo.
Yeah.
But today, you don't do that as often. You don't have the time, and it's safer that you don't, okay? But I think what he's saying is true. Yeah, I really do. Yeah. Our defense, though, what's amazing to me, studying it. You know, our defense actually, in terms of yards per touchdown, they're better than they were last year. Plays per touchdown, they're better than they were last year. Points per 100 yards, they were better than they were last year.
So does that mean that this defense is going to be better? Against the stronger schedule, that's the point. Does this mean
that's amazing. Yeah.
This defense is better than last year's?
In the way I evaluate them, I evaluate a defense based on efficiency. How many points do they give up for every 100 yards an opponent moves the ball? How many plays does it take them to score on the average? How many yards does it take them to move the ball to score? We're better in all three of those categories right now. That's hats off to Vic and his staff and the defensive players.
Yeah, that's impressive.
The only thing we don't do as well on defense right now is rush the passer like we did last year. But our pass defense is exceptionally good. Really.
Well, we think, you know, Dick, we think Quinion and Cooper DeJean have been the two best Eagles this year.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
They're so impressive. And when I'm watching them from home, I say to myself, run that over again. I want to see that again. The plays that they make, you know.
They're amazing. Yeah. So, Dick, your teams were generally very good, and obviously you led them there, and that's part of why you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But, you know, one of the things the Eagles have going for him down the stretch here is two of these three games are against a bad team, Washington, who's been out of it for a long time. And okay, so you've dealt with this a few times. You had some Rams teams in the beginning that weren't good. You've dealt with it, and you've faced teams that were out of it in late December. How tough is it for those squads that stink and have been out of it for a month to rally in late December and care as much as they normally would care in a pro football game?
Well, I think that depends on the leadership. Commanders already proved they have good leadership for how well they played last year under a new coaching staff. And what happens to teams like that, because I've been in that situation, okay, I've coached losing teams at the end of the year before, too many of them, in fact, that you use the motivation of getting better and we have an opportunity to prove we've improved since the start of the season in playing a playoff caliber team now, and we could possibly upset them, you know, and plus, guys, remember, first off, they're getting paid. Same amount of money for that game as the first game of the season. And also, they're playing for their career. And if they're free agent status, they're planning to show off so the next contract they get with another team is going to be better than the one they've been playing for. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That is all true, but I will say I've seen teams that have lied down at times. I mean, I thought the Raiders last week, Dick, I know they don't have a ton of talent, but I did not see will from that football team last week.
Yeah. Well, you know, that could be true. You know, I've experienced that once in my career as an assistant coach in the NFL.
And the team quit?
Yeah, I was not the head coach, and the team...
Wow.
I won't even tell you what I saw before the game, okay? I mean, I think back to those old days, my God. But anyway, I just think the caliber of coaching today and what the players are playing for, but each guy is playing for his own security, his own welfare, that you don't see teams just completely lay down. Every once in a while you see a team play poorly, but many times when they play poorly, it's because they're playing against a good team that forces them to play poorly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dick, what's your prediction for this one? Eagles and Washington, it's tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the rare Saturday at 5 o'clock game. What's your prediction?
Well, I think the Eagles are going to beat them. The computer says they're going to win by 8. You know, but I think it'll be a more competitive game than last week's game. This football team really only has one strength. They run the ball pretty darn well, and they run it often. And their average per rush is pretty darn good. They're number 7 in average per rush and 137 yards a game. They're number 4 in the league, so they can run the ball. I don't think they'll run successfully against our defense, but that's the best thing they do.
Coach, what are your plans for Christmas? Certainly, Merry Christmas to you. What are your plans for Christmas Day?
We're going to California and spend it with our daughter and 4 great granddaughters.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Gosh, that's special. Well, Coach, we wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to remind everyone listening right now. If you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can get delicious Vermeil wines shipped directly to your home. The website is vermeilwines.com. That's vermeilwines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach, we wish you a merry and blessed Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all the wonderful stuff up ahead. And we're going to be off the next couple of Fridays, so we won't talk to you the next few Fridays. I know others will. But we'll talk to you as we get closer to the playoffs, and certainly looking forward to that in January. Thanks, Coach.
Happy holidays, Coach.
Bye-bye. All right, you
take
guys.
Care.
Bye-bye.
There he is. He's the best. Coach Dick Vermeil.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
3 games we know, Washington, Buffalo, Washington. Look, I think everyone knows the big deal down the stretch and what this team will do in the postseason is going to come down to the offense. It's going to come down to the running game, and it's going to come down to the effectiveness of Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We know the defense is good enough. Doesn't mean they're going to play spectacular every game, but they're pretty darn good. They might be truly great. And it looks like the Eagles' defense puts out a very good or great performance almost every game. Eagles' offense quite the opposite. So as we come down the stretch, I'll ask you at 215-592-9494. Down the stretch of the regular season, what do you expect from this Eagles offense, and specifically Jalen Hurts? If you had to put money on Jalen down the stretch, to put money on him or not, how would you do it? Put another way, very basic. Do you expect Jalen to be good, very good, great, or none of the above? He obviously had not been very good for a good stretch of November. I'd say he's been pretty freaking pedestrian for most of the season, although he's had some shining moments, there's no question. John, last week there was Tanner McKee talk. That has gone away this week because he played well versus the Raiders. But what do you expect from Jalen down the stretch? What are your thoughts?
Well, he's our guy. He's the franchise guy. He has proven in the past that when the games get bigger, he gets a little, I don't know, cooler and stronger and tougher and more focused and does better all around. I don't know. It's like when the games matter more.
True in the Super Bowls and the last NFC Championship game. I'd say it's not true in a lot of other playoff games he's played. I mean, he had two whoppers and disasters against Tampa. And I'd say he's had other playoff games. Like, I think back to some of the others, including the Green Bay game last year. Not good.
And the Rams.
Game was worse.
All right.
Now, he was hampered around the third quarter with the knee, and that started creating some of the sacks. But, I mean, I would call that a below-average performance in that game for what it's worth.
Wow. And I watch other games. Watch other teams' quarterbacks and watch the way their performances fluctuate. As well. Watch the way the greats have fluctuated. It's not every game you throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. That's the exception, not the rule. Our guy has done it when it's mattered the most, which is unbelievable.
It is an incredible thing.
And so take it or leave it. I'll take it. I'm thankful for it. I'm sure there are things he can do better. I know he's a young player. That's the beauty of him being a young player. So while there's room for improvement, I'm glad he's our guy, and I look forward to him continuing to excel when it matters the most.
You know, it'll be interesting here. One thing that ties into all this is how much he's going to run the remainder of the regular season and then in the playoffs. And I view it really through two different prisms. I don't think he should run much, and I don't think he will run much in the remainder of the regular season. I think it's time to look. We know he can when he chooses to, and they choose to, and I think it's good to know that he likely will be better in the playoffs because of that. As it relates to the regular season, I would not run him much the rest of the way, because I don't think the Eagles are going to be the one seed. They might get the two seed.
Still have a chance at the two.
Of course, you know, very much still have a chance. I mean, look, Chicago could lose two of these three.
And they play Saturday night. They host the Packers.
There's no question. Now, if Chicago wins that game, then it becomes much harder to get the two. Chances are the Eagles will be the three. They got a shot for the two. That's where they're going to settle in, two or three. I wouldn't go wild with Jalen down the stretch running in order to chase the two.
Weren't you intrigued by what Kelce said yesterday, that he would?
Yeah, I was.
He said they need to get into a rhythm. They need the reps. I was surprised by that.
I was very surprised, because I'll tell you what, Jason Kelce knows a lot more about football than I do. But I feel like last week proved, even if he hasn't run much lately, when Jalen needs to run, he can. I mean, this is something, let's be real, it's something he's been doing since grade school. So I don't think Jalen Hurts is a lesser runner in January if he doesn't run in December. That's me. But if you missed it, yesterday, you know, Jason's point was they have to establish doing it and create repetitiveness doing sort of the whole thing. I mean, of course, the under center thing would be an example, but the Jalen running thing, I don't know. I don't often disagree with him on football. That's one spot I did disagree. John, what do you make of
it? I thought the point he made was incredible. Games give more practice than practice at learning the run game for this O-line. So games give more practice than practice. Practice really is just like walkthrough anymore.
Well, at this
stage, you look at the schedule, and it's by the time training camp is over, they're pretty much just walking through. Some teams request to hit the team that won the Super Bowl. They were wearing pads late in the season.
But you only get so many days of that. I mean, look.
Yeah, you're only allowed to do that so many times.
Yeah, the Jalen thing.
He said practicing, if you really want to practice, if you really want to get better, call it and run it in games. So I love that approach. I agree with that approach. I didn't play under this collective bargaining agreement that really does limit teams as much as this does.
Or this type of offense. I mean, this is something that 20 years ago wasn't going on in pro football when you were playing. Look, 215-592-9494. I think Jalen's been pedestrian for most of the season, although he's had some shiny moments. and I ask you down the and let's remember that, and I ask you down the stretch, do you expect them to be good or not? Let's remember last week, right around this time, we did a poll before the last game. Who should start the last game? 24% of people said Tanner McKay. I was not one of them. But it was striking. I mean, really striking that a quarter of the audience, Eagles fans, said, okay, let's go to the backup quarterback to start the game. And then the other poll question we had, which was, if Hurst continues to struggle, are you open-minded to McKay down the stretch to make the change this season? And over 50%, slightly over, 54% said yes. Devin, do you expect Jalen to be good down the stretch?
I do. And I also agree with what Jason Kelce said. I think that, you know, I know it was the Raiders, but we saw the offense really look like a cohesive unit. And it feels like kind of the final two games, you know, going into the bye where they were starting to look like they were becoming, you know, one unit. And that had been an issue. And then it looked disjointed again in their three losses. So I think that they need the reps no matter who the opponents are. You're not going to get the one seed. So you're still kind of playing for something, especially this week. So I think, like, at least for these next two games, I don't know about that final Commanders
game.
Yeah,
we don't know if any starters will play. That's a whole different matter.
Right.
James, do you think they should run Jalen a lot? Because I don't. I think last week proved, one, he can do it. Two, it can get real scary on a hit. Don't do that again unless you need it in the playoffs.
Absolutely not. Yeah, as far as running him, I am so with you, Joe. Like, look, you gotta clinch the division, and you gotta like do a few things just to get ready for the playoffs and all that. And if I do trust Jalen, we've talked about this a lot, but I think he's incredibly smart with his decision making when it comes to running, when it comes to getting out of bounds, when it comes to getting down, all that. So I trust him. So I think there will be opportunities in games where he has a smart, quick run that he can take, but design runs, telling him to go for it late in games if he has to, like, save that for the playoffs, man. Like, we're good.
Think about what we're expecting him to do. How unfair it is. Listen to the job. Go out there and win these games, but don't risk yourself in any way. Go out there and practice the run game.
His job
but
every week.
Don't get
John, that's
hurt
the job of scrambling quarterbacks.
Being a quarterback.
If you have that skill, that part of the job is managing when to go for it and when not to.
Uh-huh. And that's why I'm pointing out how difficult that whole concept really is. Just imagine these last three games, you know, it's just the two of the teams don't really feel like they're that big a challenge, right? It's the same team. The Commanders. So So what should Jalen do? Should he hold back a little bit? Should he run just a little less fast? I don't understand how some of these things are throttled. And like, then I see him run faster in an overtime period, and I think, okay, I guess certain things can be throttled that I wouldn't be able to throttle myself. But when you're a quarterback, how do you throttle how hard you go out there and play to win? Like, I think that there are certain things that, I don't know, you shouldn't govern her.
He's been doing it all season, though. This has been a season. All season he hasn't run. He's
controlled himself. He's figured out a way to do it.
John, here's my argument against what you're saying.
There's no way to argue against what I'm saying. It's a truism.
But it's the job.
He functions. I think it's amazing to behold.
No, he's
I don't
very
know
good
that
at,
we've ever.
He's very good at that.
I don't know that it's like evaluatable from the normal standard.
Well, it's the gig. But I'll say this: part of what makes, for instance, Jalen more valuable than where Michael Vick was for a good portion of his career. Michael Vick was one of the greatest competitors we've ever seen. I don't think we've ever seen a player try harder. That includes Pete Rose. That includes Moses Malone. I think when Michael Vick played a game, he tried as hard as you can. The problem is Michael Vick did not have that switch to be careful. He didn't have the be careful
switch.
He didn't
know how to slide.
He didn't know how to slide. He would take on linebackers that he shouldn't have, and he would get injured more often. And then he would miss two or three games. I mean, he lost his job to Foles in part because he got hurt, and then Foles played well, and then they're like, all right, well, Foles.
Yeah, fully because he got hurt. Foles wouldn't have got a chance if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, so
Jalen is like the opposite of that.
He is the opposite of that.
I've never seen someone that this effective at being the opposite of.
Well, but John, here's the question. I guess part of what we're getting at today, and you can weigh in at 215-592-9494. Do you think he should run less now that he showed last week he can, and the games, while mattering, probably don't matter much for the one seed. But the other question is, if he does run less, how effective do you expect him to be? See, that's the part. That's where I go back to.
Well, there's
I
no think the way offense... he runs more. There's no way he
runs. Yeah, but
runs
my point is
lot.
I expect the next three games the offense, the overall offense, look not good again because when he doesn't run much, it doesn't generally look good. I mean, that's just the way I see it, and I think it's largely because of him. Because when he's like, hey, it's time to pass, I don't think he's that great at it. All right, 215-592-9494. Where do you stand on all that? Do you think he's playing for his job down the stretch? We had McKee talk last week. Do you think that's still on the table as it relates to the playoffs, to 2026? Is he out of the woods? I don't think one good game against the Raiders means he's out of the woods on that. I think he's going to be the quarterback the rest of the way. I thought that this season. I thought that last week. I still think it. But I do think 2026 hangs in the balance based on how he performs down the stretch. You tell us. Show to camera, John Ritchie. 215-592-9494. A lot to do. A couple games and opportunity for the Eagles, opportunity for Jalen.
I was thinking about something this morning as we get ready for week 16 in the NFL and the Eagles going for a clinch on Saturday against the Commanders, right? So hearing a lot on the station this week about the win over the Raiders and moving forward and the rest of the season and all that. And Hugh, I realized something, and we do this collectively once in a while. As a group, as a fan base, we do this, I would say probably once a season. In baseball, probably five times a season, but with the Eagles, certainly probably once a season. Where we overreact and we look at something and we get very upset and very frustrated. And then you kind of take a 10,000 foot view of it and you say, it wasn't actually as bad as we thought. And what I mean by that is the way the team played for 3 weeks. We overreacted to the 3-game losing streak. Here is the reality. Go back and look at all three of those games. They had a chance to win each one, right? The Cowboys game, they should have won. The Bears game, although that was probably the worst they played collectively in any game. On both sides, they were still within a point or so early in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter. And then the Chargers game, their offense played like garbage, and they still could have won the game in overtime if they didn't turn the ball over again. So that was a 3-game losing streak. That was to a decent Cowboys team, a good Bears team, a good Chargers team. Bears and Chargers are likely going to be in the postseason. And I look at those games now in retrospect, and I'm like, were they really that different than the other games this season? They just happened to not win those games, right? They beat the Bucs barely. They beat the Rams barely. That, you know, a lot of the games they've won this year, the Packers, the Lions, they haven't played great football, but they just won a close game. And in those three games, they happened to lose close games. I think we overreacted. The team is the same. The team is good, especially on defense, but they're flawed on offense. They have issues, but they have a shot. And nothing really changed in 3 weeks. And what really got my attention on this is, I was looking at the Super Bowl odds this morning. The Super Bowl odds for the Eagles really have never shifted much. You know, maybe early in the season they were a favorite, but over the last 2 months they've been up near the top, not at the top. They were passed by the Rams a long time ago, and they're one of the contenders. That didn't change even with the 3-game losing streak. Hugh Douglas, what are you feeling on this as we kind of recovered from that? We got the win on Sunday, beat the Raiders. Did we overreact to the 3-game losing streak?
You gave me a lot to digest, Joe.
Yep.
And you also in there, you compensated a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You gave
truth
the Chicago Bears their props.
They're good.
When you were talking about, like before, not just you, but everybody else was talking about how bad they were and how bad their defense were and things of that nature. Now, we have moved the line when it comes to this squad. Now, to your point, every team that they've lost to is a contender.
Yeah.
And that's how you rationalize that. But this squad is underachieved all season long. I mean, if you want to be honest, if you want to keep it a bean, they've underachieved for the money that they're getting paid and for the output of this offense. That's a fact. The defense, for more bang for their buck, this is where the defense is a luxury, not a necessity, was born from. For what you've paid those players on that defensive side of the ball,
yeah,
they've exceeded expectations. That was where this whole thing was born from. You are not paying your defensive guys, and you're getting the most out of them. This offense has underachieved from the beginning of the season all the way until now. Now, to your point, I'll give them the props when you say, okay, yeah, they have played tough with teams that are going to the playoffs. But is that good enough, especially when you talk about the Super Bowl defending champions, when you talk about a lot of times, which we like to point out, our $50 million quarterback or our $30 million receivers or our $26 million running back?
Yeah.
That is not good enough. And that is not the standard that has been set for this football team. The standard is what the standard is. quoting Jalen Hurts, getting my Jalen Hurts-isms on right now. And this team has not lived up to the standards. We've talked all season long about I don't remember ever having a conversation, maybe outside of the Giants game, where I've heard the word dominant and offense used in the same sentence.
No, they haven't been. Yeah, because they're not a dominant offense.
That's a problem.
So I wish it was better too, Hugh. I do. I guess the way I view it is they have not been a great team all year. And if you look at the way they've played, I'm someone that believes in sports things even out, right? And when they were 8-2, did they really look like an 8-2 team? They didn't.
No, they didn't.
They're 9-5 now. That actually kind of fits. The Eagles have played, when I watch them most weeks, they look like a 9-5 team. They are mostly outstanding on defense. They have enough on offense that it should be competent, but it's not great. They usually come together in the tough moments and win close games. That hasn't happened as much the last month, but for the most part, it has over the last few years. It's evened out, and I think we overreacted because we started to think, oh, they're 8-2, they're going to win every week, every game, and the reality is they're not good enough to win every week, every game.
Okay, let's look at it from this perspective. Let's go back, like what we don't like to do, but let's go back to the Super Bowl and the way that Jalen played against a vaunted Kansas City Chiefs defense, the defense that got them in the position that they were in to win, to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen played lights out, and I think the consensus was that we felt that this was just another stepping stone in the progression of our quarterback.
Some people thought
okay,
that.
But I thought it. I'll be the first to say I thought that. Okay, so if you're being honest with yourself and ask yourself this question, has our quarterback progressed this season?
No.
And I know people that there's a lot that goes into that equation. You know, when you talk about the offensive coordinator and all the other stuff. But even if you take that out, does it look like there's been some progression in Jalen's game?
No.
If anything, look like it's been regression.
Yes, yes.
So that's somewhat of a problem. And I know, like, listen, I'm not taking shots at Jalen for y'all sensitive individuals that are listening to the station. But there are certain intangibles that are in this equation that, you know, you just can't deny. And he's one of them. This offense has underachieved greatly for whatever reason. If it's Kevin Petullo, if it's Nick Sirianni's play calling, whatever. For this team to have the kind of performance that they had in the Super Bowl and to come back and struggle the way that they have struggled this season, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I hear you. And I know a lot of people felt that way, and I felt that to an extent during the losing streak. I guess as I take a bigger view at it,
That's copium, Joe.
No, I don't think it's coping.
I'm your friend, Joe. I got to tell you.
It's not coping. It's They're not a great team this year. Like, that's it. Like, I've realized that.
So if they're not a great team.
Are you think they're a great team this season?
No, but
that's what I said.
But why are we thinking that this team, the way it's presently constructed, is going to be able to make a run and go to the Super Bowl?
Well, not a great team doesn't win the Super Bowl every single season. It doesn't. I mean, sometimes teams get hot. And if they put themselves in the right position, they could improve from here on out and go make a run. I mean, that's still possible. I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying 9-5, when you add it all together, it fits the way they've played this year. 215-592-9494. All right, that's how you hop in. We got a lot to do today. Your phone call's coming up here. We'll get to everyone. You're going to hear from N'Kobe Dean and Landon Dickerson the other day with a bit of a feisty moment with reporters here. Did we overreact to the 3-game losing streak? I think we did. Hugh Douglas does not. Kyle, where do you come down? Did we overreact for a few weeks here?
Frankly, I'm appalled at you, Joe Giglio. Hold on. First of all, there's just the basic fact that on this 3-game losing streak, they fell from the 1 seed to the 3 seed.
Yeah.
Not good.
I agree with that.
Everything this season is viewed or was viewed through the prism of how will this look in the postseason? Can you sustain this type of play against good postseason competition, good teams? And I think what everyone was saying, me and you included, was you play with fire so long,
you're going to get burnt.
You get burnt.
Yeah.
They got burnt. And I'm not convinced just by this win over the Raiders that all of a sudden they're still not going to get burnt in the postseason. Like, I guess maybe it's my fault that I haven't readjusted my expectations for this team.
Yeah, it's kind of your fault, though.
Sure, but, I mean, so be it then. But like, that's still the way that I'm looking at this. Like, because I know that this is wide open in the NFC. I know this is wide open in the NFL.
So I think Kyle and I see it similarly. I guess I just am not surprised. Like, and when they were 8-2, they weren't really playing like a number one seed. So I agree. Caught them. They got burnt, and now we're dealing with a few burns.
So like, right? But
it's okay.
It's okay.
But like, I had freaked out this season about I didn't want to get burnt. Yeah, I want them to fix it so that they don't get burnt, and they did get burnt.
Yes. Again,
so that annoyed me.
I hear you. I just think we overreact a little bit. They are going to be a playoff team. They're going to win the division. They're going to have a shot in the playoffs. Those things were all true before the 3-game losing streak. They're all true now. 215-592-9494. All right. Where do you come down on this? Did we overreact to the 3-game losing streak that we went through a few weeks ago?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Let's get ready for tomorrow.
Let's get ready for the football.
And the Commanders.
I got to look at the injury report.
You know, that's your thing. Maybe we should have done that instead of Carla and Franklin. But anyway, let's talk about the Eagles and the Commanders. Tomorrow, a chance to clinch the NFC East. And really, a lot of what tomorrow is going to be like is how the Eagles decide to play the game. Like, they're a 7-point favorite. We all expect them to win the game. They should win the game. It's a matter of what they try to do, how they try to go about their business, and what kind of Eagles offense we see tomorrow, right? The defense, I feel pretty strong that I know what they're going to do. They're going to play pretty well. I mean, they've played pretty well almost the entire year. They're coming off a game this past Sunday where they barely had to play because they dominated. I mean, Jordan Davis spoke about it a couple days ago. They barely were on the field because they got three and out. So they're rested, ready to go, even though it's a short week. The offense, Hugh, that's the one where every week I'm like, what are we going to get? So I think there is a hope. Well, I know there's a hope, and I have a hope, that last Sunday was a jumping-off point for Jalen Hurts.
Jump off.
A jumping-off point for the passing game. Away Jalen goes. We move past that 5-game stretch of garbage, and we move towards Jalen playing better football and really great football heading into the postseason, and away we go. And, Hugh, that is certainly my hope. But as I look forward to tomorrow, I mean, do you expect that? Do we expect Jalen Hurts to play another big game? Do you expect Jalen Hurts to play really excellent football tomorrow? Hugh, do you expect him to back up? All right, tell me why.
I do. Because Jalen has set the tone for this team, right? And Jalen has come out and, you know, in the press conference that he had, he talked about how, you know, it looks the way that he wanted to look, and he's not worried about what anybody else says.
Right.
There's a lot of people talking now about how that's a fluke and how it looked, you know, you're playing against a tomato can.
Right.
I think you build off of that. You know, there was a lot of passes that he threw in there. He threw some great passes. He was on time. And the way that you silence the naysayers is you keep that narrative going. You know, the reason why, even though we always like to talk about where they rank as far as defense is concerned when it comes to the Commodores are a team that is eerily familiar with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a part of these people, and the thing that you can never count on is the record being how the team is going to play. You know, you're playing against a team that knows what you're playing for and that has no problem playing spoiler. Who was it, Frankie Louvu?
Yes.
Remember that last year?
Yeah, what is all the eye line?
And like you got some guys over there that are going to play hard just to make it hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They're going to try to play spoiler. Of course
they are. Yes, because they know that if they beat you, if they can beat you twice, they keep the Cowboys alive and we might not win the division. Like, tomorrow's for the division, and they know that. They know that. And, you know, I'd be surprised if they brought the division champion T-shirts down there, or whatever, to the.
Well,
to
we'll get to that thought and the champagne and
yeah,
hats
but
and
it's
all
like,
that.
I said a while ago, man. Like when I used to play, those T-shirts and stuff are nice to give to your girlfriend. You know, when y'all or your significant other, when you know you're laying around probably sipping on some Jack Daniels in front of the fire, and she has on your NFC Championship T-shirt, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's cool, but that's the only time that it is cool because you're trying to win championships. So. With all of that being said, the Commodores are going to try to spoil your season.
Well, they are. And so you expect Jalen to play a big game tomorrow. Here's where I'm at on this. I don't expect Jalen to have a big game tomorrow because I don't think he's going to need to. The Commanders are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. The Eagles ran the ball 40-something times last week. And I expect him to go do it again. Tomorrow is a run-the-ball game. Jalen Hurts is coming off a good game. He played well. I mean, he did a good job last Sunday against the Raiders. It was 15 throws. I expect another kind of game like that where he doesn't have to throw the ball that much. They don't have to put the ball in the air that much. Run the ball. The Commanders' run defense is towards the bottom of the NFL. And let's also think back to this matchup over the years. Dan Quinn, he's been in this division for a long time, and he's always given Jalen some trouble. Last title game last year, Jalen got the best of Dan Quinn and dominated. He was great in the title game. But you go back to last regular season, Jalen was only okay against the Commanders. You go back to all those games against the Cowboys all those years. There were some good ones, but there were some that he didn't play great. Dan Quinn probably knows Jalen Hurts and has probably competed against Jalen Hurts more than any defensive coach in football because he's been in the same division as him his entire career. So I know there's a great hope over the next few weeks that the Eagles passing game revs it up, it gets going, and is ready to go in the playoffs to compete against Matt Stafford and Sam Darnold and all these other quarterbacks that'll be there. And I hope that too. But tomorrow to win the division. Now, I don't expect a big game out of Jalen Hurts because I don't think they're going to need it. Hugh, tomorrow for me is an old school NFC East run the ball game. I want 40 rushes tomorrow.
No, I mean, I hear you. I mean, and that would be nice, but this team is going to come to play. There's no doubt in my mind that the Commodores are going to come to play football because it's the Eagles and they're the defending champions and they were one game away last year. From going to the Super Bowl. So you're going to get their best. I think the Eagles are going to win. I don't think it's going to be a highly contested match. But I think in order for us to win, Jalen's going to have to show some of the stuff that he showed last week, man. He's going to have to make those decisive plays. He's going to have those pinpoint accurate passes. And he's going to have to do his thing.
215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts bounced back last week. The Eagles' offense bounced back. Do you expect a big game from Jalen Hurts tomorrow to clinch the NFC East? Hugh Douglas does. I don't, and mostly because I don't think they're going to need it. I think tomorrow is a day for Jalen Hurts to hand the football off and put a NFC East championship hat on when it's all said and done. 15, 17 throws, get the hell out of Washington and clinch a division here. Kyle, what are you feeling as the Eagles go for a clinch?
So, I guess it depends on how you define a big game. Like, I think expecting him to go 300, 400 yards through the air is crazy.
Yeah.
But just to play as well as he did against the Raiders, like, I sort of feel that coming. And look, I would be with you, the whole run the ball thing. We couldn't even run the ball, really, against the Raiders.
But the Commanders are even worse than the Raiders.
I know they are. And I heard Shiel yesterday on the afternoon show. And I didn't know this, but he said the Commanders have a worse statistical defense than the Raiders do.
Run the ball.
That feels crazy.
All right, it does.
But I do feel like he sort of found something. The offense had sort of found something in that last game. Mm-hmm. And like their secondary is awful.
Yeah.
By the way, with the run the ball thing, I think a lot of that's going to be Jalen. I think they're sort of going to open this thing up as we head down the stretch toward the postseason. Let loose with Jalen on the ground, and I think he's going to have another pretty good day through the air.
Well, look, that'd be great. And if he has a big day through the air and they run the ball, they'll blow the doors off this football team. When I look at tomorrow, I don't expect a big day out of Jalen. I expect the Eagles' run game, and maybe that does include Jalen. We'll see how he feels, and kind of, you know, he went down awkwardly last week. But I think tomorrow's a day for the backs, for Saquon, for the O-line to run the football. Let's get to our crossover with our guys.
We have guests.
106.7 The Fan, Steve Saban, and B. Mitch, Brian Mitchell with us right now. Guys, how you doing?
B. Man, we're doing good, but y'all got us coming on, and you're going to have some damn caller. Tell him to go.
Well, we did. We had him go, yeah.
You got to set it up properly, man.
Thanks to me.
Well, sometimes you control the phones. Hugh's been hanging up on people lately just because. Hey, tell me about that?
No. Once in a while when they start talking too much, just drop them off.
No,
bam.
Listen. Let me tell you. Y'all think I'm bad? This guy we talking to right now?
In terms of petty?
Way worse than me.
More petty than you?
Way worse than me.
I don't believe that. I don't know about
that. No, let me tell you.
I know what I'm talking about and they don't. I'm not listening to him.
You know, the better trick is you put them on mute. And so they keep talking, and they don't know that they've been hung up.
Oh, yeah, put them right on hold. It's one of my favorite tricks. I do that a lot.
Wait a minute. You just pot them down, and then they'll keep talking.
Yeah,
you should see his Twitter feed.
He can't be as petty as you.
No, see, I don't really, like, I post stuff, but I don't engage too often. If I do engage, it might go on all day. But I don't try to engage too often because most people on those things anyway, they're just trying to irritate you.
Yes,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what my goal is this year?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start reading Bible scriptures on the air, and I'm going to quit Twitter beef.
No one believes you.
Well, good luck on that.
You're telling lies on air, I see.
Good luck on that.
B-Mitch, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, man. I'm going to do better.
B-Mitch, is literally my quote on my Twitter feed? I ain't here to fight the whole internet today.
That's a good one. Hugh, you should take that
I'm
advice. Because Hugh
trying.
Will Hugh will take on the whole internet.
Yeah. Right. If you want, you can fight the whole internet.
I'll try.
Any I'll given try. Day.
Some days I wake up and I'm like, I'm here for this, and I'll go like a whole hour and a half and piss off everybody. See, then I leave.
They continue.
We come
from the same cloth.
Wake up feeling frisky.
Huh? Like, what happens is they just start talking and they start sending all kind of stuff, and they don't realize. Once I leave, I don't look at it ever again.
That's good.
I go to the next section.
I'm kind of on that page. But, boy, when I look at it and they catch me on one of them days, it's going down.
Yeah, then he comes in here. He's like, I'm turning over a new leaf today. No more. All right, guys, let's talk some football. We got a game tomorrow. And, look, when the schedule came out, I think you guys probably thought the same thing. These games were going to be super meaningful between these two teams coming off of last year. Yeah. They're not for the Commanders. They are for the Eagles. All right. But let's just start here. What the heck happened to you guys this season? I mean, last year, we're in the title game against you guys. This year, it seems like it's just been a season from hell. What happened?
You start getting injuries and all that stuff, and I know people think that's an excuse, but once you start getting injuries, everything is thrown off. I think the whole chemistry got thrown off. Terry not coming into camp early, all that stuff messed up the offense. But you know what? You got to do better. And this year, it didn't happen for them. I think they got to get back to the little – they tried to go after it after going last year to the championship game, and they say, we just add a few pieces. Well, it didn't work that way. You should have kept building. I think they need to get more of a base, and then they can move forward.
When you remember these games, B-Miss, what are some of the things that you remember fondly about playing against the Eagles when you were – back then it was another team, but the Commanders?
Well, the thing about it is I think – no matter what the records are, you can't say it.
Tell them again, B-Man.
You can't relax on that because let's be real. I know players like to say, oh, man, we don't overlook anybody. That's a bunch of crap. You look down at a team that's not playing well and you know that you're a better team, you normally just slack somewhere along the way. And that other team knows if they can get up on you and make that pressure jump on you, it's hard as hell to just flip the switch in a football game. So if you're the favorite and you start messing around, have turnovers and things like that, and the game comes down to it, and that other team is winning, when you start pressing, you mess up. And I think that's one thing the Eagles don't want to have to do. Because, we've seen the offense turn the ball over sometimes this year. Jalen has had his up and down moments. So, and I don't know what type of quarterback completely he is. He's won the Super Bowl. He's done some things. But there are games you look at and you go, what the hell is going on? Because he doesn't look like the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, you want to talk about this rivalry? Here's something to trigger, Brian. Ready?
Mm.
November 12th, 1990.
Body bag.
Monday Night Football body bag game. 9 Redskin players left the game with injuries. And who finished the game under center?
B-Mitch.
What's the last score in the box score? Mitchell, 1 yard run.
How about that?
28-14, the final score. Buddy Ryan had boasted before the game, we're going to beat him so bad, we're going to have to be carted off in body bags. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Came back later on and then won that game in the playoffs, though.
A little reminder there. He wouldn't let that one slide.
His petty runs.
Yeah,
deep,
no, I could hear it. Yeah. All right,
now listen. You know I was up there for 3 years, and everybody said, "Man, you remember the body bag game?" I'm like, There's another part to that whole story. They said, what do you mean? I said, the playoffs. Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, we cut that story off right there. All right, guys, I want to come back to the Jalen thing in a second, your thoughts on him. But in terms of the Commanders, what you're seeing, because there's two types of teams late in the season. We watched the Raiders here last week against the Eagles, and I think that Raiders team is quit. I mean, they're just done. I didn't see it. They stink, I know that, but also I didn't feel like they wanted to be here. The Commanders, are they still playing hard for Dan Quinn? I know they won last week. What kind of effort do you expect out of them tomorrow? And they play three division games to end this. They play Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish this thing.
They still playing for Dan. I think they really, really are trying to get it. Some teams, you're right. Like when the Raiders, they look like the old Cardinals back in the day. They already had their U-Hauls on the back of their truck. They're ready to go home.
Oh, it's bad.
But I believe that this team understands. And I think, you know, like young guys in football today, they don't understand a lot of the rivalries. But I think they understand the NFC East. And I think they're going to be ready to play. So if they're not, they will be embarrassed by the Eagles because they see that. But if they could come out there ready to play, and they're going to be given some opportunities, I believe, in this game. And it could be a tight one.
There's several teams that have become non-functional. The Raiders are one of them. You guys saw that last week.
Mm-hmm.
75 yards of total offense. I think the game ended in, what, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Yeah, it was one of the quickest games in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
They're like, okay, we're done here. Let's move on. I don't get the sense that the Commanders are non-functional or that they've quit. But how do you explain me, Mitch, the zero against Minnesota?
I can't.
Is that just everything
that
just went wrong?
I was watching that game, and I'm serious. I thought I was living in, like, outer space or something.
They single-handedly
answer that one.
They took the shock paddles to J.J. McCarthy's entire career and went, clear, and they brought him back to
life. I hope that's the only game they play like that the rest of the year.
I hope so, too. But it didn't look like they were quitting. They just sucked.
Yeah,
when I've watched them the last few weeks, I felt like that, too. I don't think it's quitting because they played the Broncos tough. What was the last week of November? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Broncos haven't lost in months, and that took a two-point conversion to finish. So I think the Commanders are still playing hard. We'll see how it looks tomorrow.
You know what, though, Joe? Speaking of quitting, because I remember when I was in Atlanta, Marcus Mariota quit on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he said, I'm out.
And he's
– they were trying to screw him, though, man.
No, but I was watching Hard Knocks – and they're talking about he's playing well. What is he doing that's making him play as well as he's been playing lately?
I think he understands. He and Cliff works well together. Mm-hmm. He understands his offense. And I think he sees himself in a different way. He came here knowing he was a backup.
Mm-hmm.
He came in knowing he was going to be that guy that could get into the game if something happened to Jaden. And I think he's just embraced that. In Atlanta, they told him he was going to be the starter.
No, he was the starter, B. Mitch.
I know.
They benched him for Desmond Ritter.
Wait a minute. I know what you're saying, B. Mitch, and you're right, but he had opportunities. Like, y'all, I was there. You need to go back. Like, he played horrible. And when they decided to bench him towards the end of the year, he got mad. Well, and he took his ball and went home.
Well, I can tell you, he took his ball, came here, and he ain't been quitting since.
I mean, so, I guess the change of scenery. I guess he ain't liking it in Atlanta. It was too dark for him. I don't know. Maybe that's
true.
He's had that one play like weekly.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play damn good football and he'll have one little hiccup.
Yeah.
And I think if he could stay away from the hiccup, he could do some good things on the field.
Yeah, man, because I'm looking at his stat line, 211 yards last week.
He's running a lot, too. Yeah. I think he's run for like 40 or 50 yards a game recently.
He can still scoop.
Yeah.
He's like an older dude like I was and still can outrun you.
He is a decidedly non-awful.
We ain't got to tell family business like that.
He is a very much non-awful QB2, and there's a lot of teams in this league that would kill for that kind of a guy.
Well, the Eagles had him here a couple years ago.
Non-awful QB2.
Well, some teams have awful QB2s. We see that.
I know that sounds like an insult.
No, but I'm just saying. I mean, most teams looking for a QB that's non-awful.
All right, let's talk about QB1. B-Mitch, you referenced Jalen Hurts earlier. I mean, we've been fighting about Jalen here all year, even though he is a Super Bowl champion, and he's obviously been an excellent Eagles quarterback in balance over the 5 years. But this year, I think, Beamish, there was a sense off the Super Bowl that was like a launching pad. Now he was going to be that kind of guy on most weeks, and that just hasn't been his season this year. He bounced back last week before that really rough five-game stretch, which ended with that Chargers game on Monday night. When you watch Jalen, what do you see?
I see a guy. Well, I watched Jalen all the way back to college, and I've had a great respect for him because of how he handled the whole thing with Tua. You know, many guys would have been running away. He stood right there and hung in there. But I think, and Hugh and I played with Donovan. Donovan's my cousin, okay? Donovan had the mindset where he wanted to prove that he wasn't a running quarterback. And I think Jalen has a little bit of that in him, too. He can run the ball, but he refuses to do it at times when he could and just continue moving the chains, okay? I think he needs to utilize every bit of experience he has after this week, though. Every bit of ability he has, because he can be the times when he'll go in these games, he'll have like 14, 15 passes. He's not doing well, but he won't have any rushing yards. He'll have a small amount. He can break a game wide open. And I know there's times when he's gotten hit, but hell, get 10 and get down. But I think he needs to utilize everything that he has in his arsenal against teams, and he'll be a much better quarterback.
Steve, what do you think of Jalen?
I look at him, and I just know from friends up there, and I listen to you guys when I'm going to visit Philly. I'll be up there tonight in Phoenixville, so I'll be tuning in to the whole lineup and all that. I feel like there's a similar arc to the way McNabb got to be up there, where he was objectively a really good quarterback, and yet the gripes kept piling up about things mm-hmm. that weren't quite as good as people wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about that you make about, you know, stigmatizing of like, I want to be a pocket passer. I'm more than just a running quarterback. It's the dumbest thing ever because there's so many plays where a simple run for a guy that's got some wheels moves the chains and completely affects the defense.
All that matters.
Mm. So I don't get that. I want to ask you guys about where is the A.J. Brown meter at the moment?
Mm.
Because I know there was that early stuff complaining about targets, and then more and more when I watch him, I'm like, dude, you should have caught that. Dude, you should have caught that.
Mm.
Where are they at on A.J. Brown?
Well, the temperature was raised a couple weeks ago because that Monday night game against the Chargers when Jalen had all the turnovers, A.J. was partially responsible for that loss. I mean, he had a drop at the end in the end zone. They could have won the game. He dropped one off his hands that became an interception. He didn't play great that night, even though he had about 100 yards. So, yeah, I would say people have been frustrated with him. It feels like we're in a war. I mean, this kind of reminds us back to 20 years ago with the quarterback and the receiver, right? And I think at some point, guys, the Eagles are going to have to choose between keeping Jalen or keeping A.J. I mean, that time might come this offseason. Hugh, where do you think everyone is right now with A.J.?
You would keep the wide out over your quarterback?
Well, I wouldn't. I think the Eagles might.
I think people like the wide out. I mean, I don't know because I hear the players talk, B-Mitch, and then I see stories written. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, the media members, they're talking to somebody.
Somebody tells them something.
Yeah, but I'm talking to the players, and the players don't have a problem with him. So I don't know. Like, it's one of those ones I don't know who to believe.
Yeah. It's almost like half the fan base is like, stop talking, and half is like, hey, he's right. He's got a point. Something wrong with the offense in the passing game. We'll see.
If he's right, he better catch the damn ball that's going through both hands.
Yes, if you're going to talk, you better make the play. Guys, we appreciate you guys doing this. Have a great rest of your show, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right, y'all take care.
There you go, brother. 106.7 The Fan. Our guys, B. Mitch and Steve Saban down there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You know what I realized this morning, Ike?
What did you realize?
That there's a lot of people that work here that I've never seen before, and they're all here today. No, you know what I realized is that all the Eagles need to do this year, at this point, now that we've gotten here, is win a playoff game, we can call the season essentially a success. We made it through our Super Bowl hangover season and on to next year. I know we all went into the season saying that, talking about dynasty and how many rings are we going to get and yada, 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 yada. But then reality hit. And reality is that the Super Bowl hangover season is tough. And the Eagles have not they haven't handled it really, really poorly, but they also haven't handled it really well. Here's the reality. They have a bottom 10 offense in the NFL. The entire offensive line has been in and out of the lineup all year long. The running back may not be quite as good as he was last year. The quarterback has struggled to find his footing. There's been infighting. There's been leaks. Like, we spent half the year talking about whether 2025 is 2023 again. And I think if they can recover the season, maybe win two out of the next three, lock up the division, get a home playoff game, win a home playoff game, and then whatever happens after that point is gravy. It's just like we keep saying there's nobody good out there in the NFC, so the NFC could be ours. But we're part of nobody actually being good, right? Like, anybody can win doesn't give us a better chance. It just means the chances are flat for everyone. So I know we came into this year thinking about the Super Bowl. I know we thought that this is maybe a dynasty, and maybe it still will be. You don't need to win back-to-back to have it be a dynasty. But, like, I think we should stop talking about the Super Bowl. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, but I think if they win a playoff game this year, we can call this season a moderate success and move on.
You good?
One playoff game.
You good?
Yes.
You got it out of your system?
Yes.
Good, nice shirt, too. I just noticed that. That's Aaliyah?
Oh, the Aaliyah shirt, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. And she's of age, too, so I'm just saying. Beautiful.
Well, she's...
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, she would have been. She yes. would be of age. She is. Yes, she's more of our...
Not with us
she's
anymore.
She's more of our generation.
Yes.
Aaliyah,
yes.
The beautiful yeah. Aaliyah.
Yes.
Yes, look, Fritz is like, who?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is she not here?
She died.
Oh, okay.
What part of what we just finished saying didn't let you know?
I thought you were saying,
gone.
Like, back in the day.
Yeah.
No. She was of age.
No,
she was, yeah.
She died she very was, young.
Yes.
Yes. And that's my fault, ladies and gentlemen, yes, for throwing the show off.
Sorry, sir.
Back to what I need to talk about, which is you yes. and your nonsense of laying out playoff. Pillows and trying to find a soft landing. Not buying it. Not buying it, not buying it. And here's why I can't buy that as a successful season, Spike. First of all, let me put my my bar where I wanted it. It's got to be the NFC Championship game. The only way a loss in the second round would suffice, or I would sort of be okay with it, is if they went to Los Angeles and somehow lost a close game out there. I could talk myself into accepting the season. They don't get a pass for creating issues and drama and not being able to handle adversity when it arrives, instead pointing fingers and all this other stuff that was going on. They don't get the benefit of the doubt at the end when you don't meet our expectations. Coming into the season, the expectation was to defend your crown. We talked about dynasties. This is one of the most talented rosters in the league, although they have suffered some injuries. A few to major guys, not enough to derail this season, not enough to throw off what the expectations were. This season not meeting those preseason expectations is more of their own undoing, not unfortunate circumstances. That's where I could give them sort of a pass. If there are things that happened that they didn't foresee, injuries, quarterback got knocked out, or what have you, whatever. No, this is a team that have come up short as far as meeting expectations so far this year. And for me, getting in the playoffs, they need to win the NFC East, not backdoor in. That's a home playoff game.
Yeah.
They certainly better win that.
Yes, and then after that it's gravy. You're not being realistic,
nope.
I think.
I am being realistic, because here's why. Because if I get Seattle in the second round, if I get Green Bay in the second round, I'm not accepting those losses as acceptable losses. I'm not. We've already beaten Green Bay. We're a more talented team than Green Bay that just won a championship. Green Bay just lost their best defensive player. And Micah Parsons, why is it an acceptable loss to any of those teams, quite frankly?
Because we're not playing well?
No, I'm not saying that it's acceptable. I'm just saying
it sounds like it.
No, I'm saying it's reality. Everybody needs to live in reality.
Yeah.
Well, I know we beat the friggin' Raiders on Sunday, but the reality is that the offense has not been good all year long. That there have been leaks outside of the NovaCare facility burying the quarterback for a month. The best wide receiver on the team spent 3 weeks talking about how he's not happy. The offensive line has been kaput all year long. And I know we all thought we ran the ball well on Sunday, but they ran for like 3 yards a carry on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's just not there. Like, if you can go and you can save face and win a playoff game and avoid a total disaster, then I think it's just reality to say, all right, like, learn from what happened this year. It wasn't good. I'm not saying it's all acceptable. Learn from what happened.
Sounds like you're saying
it's
acceptable.
No, it's just reality. They're in this situation now. I don't think there's time to turn this team into a Super Bowl team.
Yes, and because of that, if that is the end result, they deserve the criticism that comes along with that. They just do. No one's talking about, at least I'm not talking about fire the coach or get rid of the quarterback or any of that nonsense. I'm not saying anything needs to be done drastic, blow it up or any of that. That's not what I'm saying. But the idea as a fan base that we should accept a lowered bar because somehow they couldn't get out of their own way, that's not us holding them to the standard that we like to say we hold everybody to. That's more of a coping mechanism where it's like, you know what? Ah, we won last year. I guess it's okay. No, when you're completely healthy and you got infighting, that's you. You're the reason you didn't meet expectations. You are. You couldn't get out of your own way. You couldn't handle success. You couldn't handle the expectation of repeating. That's not on us to be like, you know what? Good try.
I just think that's where they are.
And here's the number one reason why I can't accept it. There's a legitimate chance that Bo Nix might be hoisting a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May might be hoisting the trophy.
It's possible.
Sam Darnold might be hoisting the trophy.
Less possible, but possible for sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I got Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best young defenses in all of football, with talent everywhere. And it should be okay if those guys get a chance to hoist the trophy and we don't?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it's reality. I'm just trying to refocus everyone.
Yeah, but when you say it's okay or it's acceptable, you are saying it's okay.
I'm saying that's what a success is for me now.
That's not a success.
The Super Bowl thing has flown. I'm not even considering it.
You mean to tell me?
Point. Yeah.
Like, this isn't 2018 where they started off 5-8.
No.
Wentz was coming off a torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his back. They had the sitting. Foles came in late. They backdoor in because Minnesota doesn't win the final game. They get in the playoffs, and they win a game by the double doink.
Yes.
Because Chicago missed a field goal at the end.
Yes.
That's a successful season considering all those circumstances.
But there are a lot of circumstances
with this
team. Yes.
No. Not just comparable to 2018.
It's a different kind of circumstances, but there's still circumstances that are there. The offensive line has not been healthy. Saquon is not the same guy. They have a brand new offensive coordinator.
Saquon played every game?
Yeah, he's played every game, but he hasn't been the same. He hasn't.
All I'm saying is before the season started, I was screaming back-to-back champions.
Yes.
That expectation has not changed for me.
Okay, it has for me. 215-592-9494. What is a successful season?
It's a championship city.
What is a successful season for the Eagles this year? I say win a playoff
game. Not the baseball team. Disappointments in the postseason when it comes to the baseball team.
They try.
A lot of hot air being blown throughout the year. Oh, you get rid of this guy. They suck. They got to win. And then when the end of the season comes, it's like, oh, okay, they didn't hit again.
Well, you're talking to...
Yeah, he knows who I'm talking to.
All right.
The football team is different.
I don't know who you're talking to. Yeah. You guys should have accepted the standing O on Sunday.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. 215-592-9494. Is just winning a playoff game, calling a spade, a successful season for the Eagles this year, or are you expecting more? So I settled in to watch the big game last night, Ike, the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. And let me tell you what I felt watching that football game.
Oh, let me guess.
This is not the kind of football game I've been watching all year. Holy moly. Oh, my goodness. It just it shot through my body. The thing that we watch is not like that.
Yeah.
Like, those two teams looked awesome. And there are some, you know, as you mentioned, the Eagles play tomorrow, and sometimes you need to get in there with a win, get out of there. But tomorrow, I'm just saying, to be considered in the same league as the teams we saw last night, this is, you know, to quote Elliot Shore Parks, tomorrow is a style points game. Tomorrow, go into Washington. This team needs to function in a way, the way that they functioned against the Raiders. They need to look dominant. They need to look clean. This is not about getting into Washington and getting out with a win. They have to look good doing it, because this team needs momentum. They need to play well consistently. We say there's not a lot of good teams in the NFC. Let me tell you, there are some good teams in the NFC.
No, we said there's not great teams.
Well, those teams looked pretty damn good last night.
Seattle look Sunday.
What's that?
How did Seattle look Sunday?
Not that good, but won.
They didn't score a touchdown Sunday.
No, and they won.
They didn't score a touchdown Sunday.
They didn't.
Six field goals.
Yes.
They didn't look great Sunday.
They didn't, but they looked.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm saying the Eagles need to do more than win on tomorrow. They need to look good doing it.
Listen, here's the thing, and this is where you guys fall into this trap every time.
Yes.
Is that we need to feel good about the win.
Yes.
I understand individually that's what you want. You want to feel good about the team.
Yes.
Here's what I want. I want the team to feel good about winning. You know, you feeling good about the team is subjective. I don't know, a 24-10 win, you may be like, it's a 24-10 win. That's not that impressive.
Depends how it looks.
Well, I'm just saying, it's 24-10. Oh. Exactly. It's subjective.
Yes.
It's subjective. Yes. So here's what I need. I need the players to not pay attention to any of this nonsense. Go out there, play the best ball you can, come back with the W, continue to stack W's. That's the mindset that I'm in. I tried to prevent you guys from going down this path 4 weeks ago when the team was 8-2 and everybody's complaining about a win on the road against Green Bay and a win at home against, at that time, one of the most explosive offenses in all of football, 30-plus points a game. They got held to 9 points in that game, but no one was happy, including some of the players on the team. And then we proceeded to blow a 21-point lead on the road, which also proceeded to lead us to a three-game losing streak. And we all hated the team. The quarterback needed to be benched and all this other nonsense. To where we were just begging for a win last week against the Raiders. We got it. We get one win. You see a couple teams last night, and then we all want to overreact. Oh, I'm scared of the Rams. I'm scared of the Seahawks. Not at all. Those teams are trying to get into the category where the Eagles are, where the Eagles dwell. No, I'm serious. The Eagles are defending champions.
They are.
The Eagles have already beaten the Rams.
They did.
When you look at the Eagles' resume this year of victories, I don't know a team that has more impressive wins when you look at the quality of opponents. I don't care what it looks like. They don't have to average 30 points a game winning those games. I'm saying they've beaten some of the better teams this year in the NFC, some of the favorites in the conference, because last week Green Bay won, and all of a sudden now they're everybody's darlings. The Eagles just sit back, continue to fine-tune this football team so that when we hit January, we're playing our best football. Our best football. Don't fall in the trap of telling yourself it needs to look a certain way in order for you to appreciate it. That's what happened a month ago, and that led to the worst stretch of the season where we were all miserable. I won't fall in that trap, and if you want to be led in the right direction, I'm your Pied Piper.
215-592-9494.
Come on.
Is it just a win that matters tomorrow, or do they have to look good doing it? I think they have to look good doing it. This team needs some consistency, and not just consistent wins. They need consistent play. They need clean football. They need the under center stuff they were doing. They need running the football.
Pound town. That's what we're going to.
Well, they
we're going to run the football.
It is about more than winning tomorrow. It's about looking good doing it. This team needs to to, that's a bad football team they're going to play in Washington tomorrow. They have to dominate the bad football team. Like, everybody says that they're just waiting for December. That's what Jalen says, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this December, January, February, that's when it really counts. Well, it really counts. Go in there and beat the hell out of that team like you beat the Raiders.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sassy Elliott. Hey. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Friday at 3, which means we're joined by Sassy Elliott Shore Parks. This Elliott Shore Parks call-in brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. What's up, Sassy Elliott?
I might just need to start coming in studio on Fridays simply to avoid that song being played. Might have to just be.
Well, we're playing it on Tuesdays now.
Yeah, we're going to play it anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I just have to learn to love it.
Yeah. So,
it's a good one.
So, Elliott, you are the king of whether a game is a style points game or not. I ask you, is tomorrow's Eagles game a style points game?
Yes. I think tomorrow is a style points game. I really think it's really important that they stack together good games. I think if they go out tomorrow and they're getting a lot of penalties, the running game is bad again, they're having third and longs, they're pushing themselves in first and second down into negative spots, like that would be discouraging. I don't need them to go out and score 35 points. Like, I don't think it's that type of style point game, but it can't look like the offense did for a large chunk of this season where it was just sloppy. So I think it's mostly tomorrow about playing clean football. Now, if they do, they probably will score a lot of points. So I get ones connected to the other. But it's more just about how they look, in my opinion. So, yeah, I do think it's a style points game.
As usual, he's on both sides of the fence there with that.
I
think you're fine. There's a great, because there is a gray area there. It's hard to, it's hard to argue what looks good versus, unless they are just sloppy.
Yep.
Right, then everybody's going to be upset about that. But I don't know. My whole thing is, to your point, once you say you don't need them to score 35 points, you're pretty much saying what I'm saying. They can go win 24-3, play a clean game, and that's a good game.
To me, I don't want this to be a game in the fourth quarter in any meaningful way. And if they can go in there and I think they're going to need to do all the things that you're saying. If they do all of those things, I think it probably won't be a game in the fourth quarter. If they don't do it, that's how we end up with a, the Commanders just cut it to 3 with 8 minutes left, and we got to have one of those games again.
Yeah, I don't think it's a game that's acceptable to, like, it's not just going to be a game that if they win it, that's all that matters. Like, when they beat the Lions, whatever that score was, I don't think it is. I think it's a game where they have to play well on offense and look like they've improved last week. Well, I think I'm gonna feel discouraged about the team. I'm not going to feel as good about them. And I think, honestly, they will be discouraged. I felt like for the last week, they actually played with the same confidence you see the defense play with. I think the fact that they got a touchdown on the opening drive, the fact that they weren't having penalties. I thought that for the first time all year, the two sides of the ball looked like they were playing with the same energy. I mean, I think if they struggle tomorrow, when we do the Mailata show, the Players Lounge, when I'm in the locker room this week, it's going to be a lot of the same that's been all year with, we had that penalty early. That really set us back. We couldn't get in a rhythm. Like, I think it's important this team feels like they're making progress.
Yeah, and that's why they have to keep stacking wins. See, what they can't do is fall into this trap of trying to please everybody so they don't get criticized about the win. They did all the finger pointing, and we're not living up to a standard. Guess what? You're playing to your potential. That's what you are this year. This idea that they're going to flip a switch and all of a sudden they're going to look like the 2024 Eagles and they're going to get back to playing dominant run game football and all this other stuff. No, they are who they are. And if that means they got it, they have to. So now listen, if Washington doesn't show up like the Raiders didn't, then okay, it'll be a dominant performance and we'll overreact to it and everything else. But that game Sunday had more to do with the Raiders not really being competitive and competing in that game than the Eagles went out and did something that was all fireworks. And dude, they averaged 3 yards a carry, 40-something carries.
Yeah, they did not run the ball.
It's not like they went out there and just exploded all over the field, all over the field everywhere with the offense Sunday.
Yeah, so I thought they ran the ball like effectively in a weird way, the way that they stuck with it. They didn't run it great. But where I will disagree with you on what you said is like, I don't know if winning like puts these guys in good moods. Like,
well, it should. That's the point I'm making. It should. Right. They need to quit playing mind games with themselves, as if they have to somehow live up to some standard in order to be happy with a win. They get on a roll here and start. You think the 2000 Ravens look like, dude? We couldn't score 17 points, man. How did we? This was the worst Super Bowl ever. Hey, they were a dominant defense, and that's how they won games. That's how they won games. The Patriots. That's how they won games early. They didn't win games by scoring 30 points and blowing everybody out and being the dominant team. They won games by being a smart football team, making the fewest amount of mistakes, and being satisfied or content with getting a win, but ultimately trying to win a championship. That's what dug us in this hole in the first place. That's how we got to the 8-5 hole, because they couldn't be satisfied with being 8-2 because of some phony standard they're living up to. Like, what standard are they living up to? The passing game was ranked 29th last year, and they won the Super Bowl. All of a sudden this year, we expect the passing game to be the Rams' passing game, or it's not satisfactory. And not just to fans. I'm talking about to them as well. This is a message to them as well. Like, you want to go out there and play your best. Sure, you don't want to make mistakes. But this idea that you have to play some perfect game in order to be satisfied with the win. We are in December heading to January. Get the W and move forward. That's what you do. Don't get bogged down with all this other stuff.
So I think, like, again, I think they should celebrate if they win the division title tomorrow. Like, pop champagne, put the hat on, put the shirt on. Because, to your point, I do think one of the hurdles this team has to face and has had to face is just like them not getting down on themselves.
Yes.
Right? So but I just think they are who they are at this point. And I can guarantee you if they win that game 10-7 tomorrow or 13-6 or whatever, and the offense is struggling, like they're not going to be in a good mood on the offensive side of the ball. And the offensive side of the ball really does dictate the mood of this team.
Well, it shouldn't. That's the problem. It shouldn't. That's those personalities over there that you can't trust. I can trust the personalities on defense. They play together. They play for each other. They play together. If everybody ain't doing or getting theirs on offense, then somebody's going to be upset whether you win or lose. You don't get that out of the defensive players. Maybe that's what's wrong with the team, is that the offensive personality is what drives the culture.
Yeah, so look, I agree that it shouldn't be that way, but when you say should it be a style points game or not, that's why I think it is. Like, that's why I think tomorrow, for this team continuing to move in the right direction heading into the playoffs, they have to get on that bus tomorrow back to Philly feeling good about the way they played. And to me, that's a style points game where they have to feel like they took a step forward. They have to feel like they played well. And if they have a similar game to a lot of offensive games this year, that will feel like a step back to me, even if they win the game.
What if they win 26-6?
I think that would probably qualify.
Okay.
I mean,
Yeah. Okay.
So, Elliot, curious if you saw last night's game and if you think the Eagles' offense is still as good as the Rams' offense.
Yeah, I do think the Eagles' offense is still better than the Rams' offense. I thought offense played well last night.
They put up
like
600 yards and 37 points.
Yeah, they were impressive for sure.
The number one defense in the league.
Yep. Well, I don't think Seattle actually has a great defense.
What do you think of the D?
And I thought that was proven correct again last night when they got torched by a good quarterback. Like, yes, the Rams have a very good offense. I agree. The Rams' offense has played better than the Eagles' offense this year.
Can I ask you something? What do the Eagles do on offense one thing better than the Rams?
I think they take care of the ball better.
Well, I don't know. But Matt Stafford has five interceptions and 40 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the turnover thing, but I think the Eagles take care of the ball better. But like again,
well, probably not.
I've never disputed with you that the Rams offense is playing better than the Eagles offense this year. I agree with you. The Rams offense is playing better than the Eagles offense this year. My whole argument is I'm looking at a larger sample size and saying that over the past 3 years, they've been the better offense. They've been the better offense in the playoffs. So yes, in the first 13, 14 games of this season, the Rams offense has been better. My point is when push comes to shove, I trust the Eagles offense more than I trust the Rams offense. And to me,
don't you think the Eagles have been in push comes to shove situations several times over the last few weeks and they didn't come through, you know, against the Cowboys, score one more time, you know, against the Chargers, push came to shove in overtime and they turned it over, you know, like what counts as push comes to shove?
The Rams have also been in push come to shove situations against the Panthers. They needed more points. They lost that game. Seattle last night, they needed more points. They lost that game. And another game.
You're having a different conversation. You're not allowed to change the conversation. Your point about the Eagles offense, and we're only talking about this year because I don't give two blanks what the Eagles did 3 years ago on offense. We're playing football this year. So the question is, you said when push comes to shove, the Eagles offense will be good. They have had several opportunities over the last few weeks where they have been in push comes to shove situations and they have not done it. So if they're only good when push comes to shove and they've been in push comes to shove situations and they don't do it, I don't understand your point. To me, what the Seahawks did last night was push comes to shove. That's what they did last night. Like, they needed it.
Right. So, again, I'm not disputing. This year, the Rams offense has played better. You cannot care about a larger sample size. That's fine. That's how you can view it. I'm saying the way I view it is the team with the same head coach, same quarterback, a lot of the same skill players, for a larger sample size, has been better. And you can't just pick and choose. Like,
is this offensive line as good as the last 2 years?
No, I don't think
so.
So
what does it have to do with the last 2 years, Elliot?
Because I still think the quarterback, the skill players, and the team itself will make the
so
plays.
So is Saquon. We're talking about three years ago when Saquon wasn't here. We're talking about last year when Saquon was here and had one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. And we're talking about this year where he's averaging 3 yards a carry. What does it have to do with each other?
I just told you what it has to do with
each other. But he's one of the skill players.
I know he's one of the skilled players.
And he wasn't even there one of the years.
They had a better offense than the Rams last year when they had Saquon. So, like, they have had...
No, they didn't.
They did have a better offense than the Rams last year. I think they averaged more points than the Rams last year. I don't know how else you would qualify as a good offense, and they outscored him in the playoffs. So, like, I don't know how they wouldn't have a better offense last year.
Well, let's check.
And final thing.
I checked it a few days ago. I could be wrong. And, so let me just say one more thing.
Does last night's game, now the Seahawks turned it over twice and the Rams didn't turn it over at all. So are you amazed at the fact that a team could turn it over more and still win the football game?
Yeah, I am amazed at
that.
Okay,
all right.
And I actually think it shows that Seattle, again, I don't think they're as good as people are making them out to be. I think they were lucky to win that game.
Okay. Is Lane Johnson going to play tomorrow?
Well, he's out. So
oh, I didn't I see that. Okay. And Landon Dickerson and Fred Johnson?
Yes, they are going to play. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. I don't know why you'd listen to it. You should unsubscribe if you're subscribed to it.
Well,
the Eagles did average more points than the Rams last year.
Okay, there you go.
Interesting.
And what does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Can I make one more point, and then you can hang up on me? Like, You say the Eagles, like, you bring up the push come to shove situations over the last few weeks, right?
Yes.
The Rams have also been in situations.
But
like
I am not arguing that the Rams are only good when push comes to shove.
No,
you
I know
are.
You're not, but the point I'm making is offenses don't always score every time they need to. But like the Eagles over the past 3 years. Including this year against the Rams.
I'm hanging up on him. You shouldn't unsubscribe to Go Birds. You should subscribe to Go Birds. But anyone who is going to make the argument that the Eagles' offense is better than the Rams is a psychopath. Is a psychopath.
Yeah, literally. Well, not at points. Passing offense definitely is not better. Passing offense is not better.
I bet it's not even better in rushing offense.
Yeah, look at that. You would be right.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
But when they need it.
And the turnovers. I bet the turnovers has to be around equal.
Well, so the Eagles have 13 turnovers in the year. Rams have 12.
Okay, so the Rams have fewer turnovers.
And the Rams are like the least penalized team in football.
Okay.
Now, five of those turnovers happen in one game.
Yep.
They still count.
Well, five of them happen to the Eagles in one game, too.
No, I'm talking about for the Eagles. Like, five of them happen in one game.
Yeah. For the Rams, too.
Yeah. I know at least three.
Yeah, the Carolina game.
All right.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.